So we were in the Gospels this morning. Tonight we're going to reflect together on a couple of verses, actually three, in this passage, Psalm 102. Find that on page 598 if you're using the Bible found in the back of your pew. Psalm 102. I want to begin reading at verse 18, but just know that our focus is going to be on what we find in verses 25, 26, and 27. So the psalmist says in verse 18, "Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, 'Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you.'" We live in a world of constant change. I don't have to tell you that. For those of us, maybe I'll just speak for myself, who are technically challenged technology-wise, I'm trying to suggest, change is not always an easy thing. You just think about what we have all around us in our world and in life in this world today that we didn't have all that long ago. So I'm thinking of high-definition TVs. You know, now it's 4K. Ooh, 4K is not even the latest. There is something else. And then our smartphones and our tablets and video streaming, which is exactly, that's a very good thing, because we cut the cord and we no longer have cable. We're streaming today. Even we are streaming, and if we can stream, you can stream. And we're saving money along the way. And then you think about wireless technology. We just bought a receiver to replace our receiver's 45 years old, got it as a wedding present, and that was powering our two Bose speakers. And finally, after 45 years, quit on us. So we went out and we bought a receiver. And this receiver streams, right? It's Bluetooth technology, just takes the music amazingly right off our phone, and there you have it in our living room. No one would have even anticipated this kind of technological advance a number of years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. Some of you may remember VCRs. And it was the latest and the greatest. In fact, when VCRs first came out, they were boxes like this and about this deep. And, you know, they were costing way back then about $1,500 to $2,000. You remember the green screens from the very rudimentary PCs when they came out? And, then there's the cassette tapes, which was this huge technological leap from the 8-tracks. Well, we remember when we got our first microwave. Well, that was quite something. But the latest and the greatest and the state of the art soon becomes the obsolete. And we scratch our head, how do we get rid of this old electronic stuff? Every year, technology advances. Our children play with sophisticated devices far surpassing anything that their parents could ever have imagined when they were a child. We live in a sea of constant change. Vocational psychologists, my son being one of them, will tell you that the average American worker today changes jobs 7 times after college graduation. 7 different jobs. So much in our lives, the health we take for granted, the relationships we cherish, the jobs that used to be secure, the cost of a college education, the health of our retirement funds. Never mind what happened this past week. It's all subject to change. Even Social Security, we're beginning to realize, may not be all that secure. In a world so often unsteady, in a world so often challenged by change, is there anything that is stable? Is there anything that is permanent? Is there anything that is reliable? Sometimes I hear people tell me, I am so tired of the world changing all around me. I just don't want anything to change in church. Well, we're in a series of messages about the nature and the character of God, and tonight we're going to be taking a look at what theologians call God's immutability. You've heard the word mutation. The word mutation, you know, refers to the genetic, random genetic changes that are found in new offspring of animals and plants. So mutation is the act or the process of change. And then if you put the word IM or the prefix IM in front of it, meaning to say the opposite of change, you get the word immutable, meaning to say not changeable. And so when we talk about God's immutability, what we're talking about is the fact that God never changes. He's consistent. He's dependable. In a world where there's so little consistency and dependability, God does not change. James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. One paraphrase puts it this way. I love it. It says, with God, there is never the slightest variation or shadow of inconsistency. Never the slightest variation or shadow of inconsistency. Because God, you see, is always the same. He has always been, and He always will be the same. Meaning to say, well, He doesn't gain any new powers ever. He doesn't lose any powers that He's had. He doesn't mature. He doesn't develop. He doesn't get stronger or wiser as the time goes by. God can't change for the better because He's already the very best. In other words, He's already perfect. How can you improve on omniscience? Remember, we talked about that. God is all-knowing. How can you improve on omnipotent? God is all-powerful. How can you improve on perfect righteousness? How can you improve on perfect love? We have talked about all of these things in our Sunday evening series. When you're talking about God, it becomes very apparent. It becomes very apparent that that any change could only be for the worse, which is impossible when it comes to God, because God is absolutely perfect. God always was and is and will be always perfect, perfectly wise, perfectly sovereign, perfectly good and just and holy and merciful and great, gracious. The writer of Psalm 102 wrote this, these words that we just read a few moments ago: "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Everything in creation can change, will change over time, except for God. He's constant. He will always be exactly how He reveals Himself to us in His Word. And in the time remaining, I really want to focus on the few ways in which God's immutability touches our lives in powerful ways. And the first is this, and I hope it's the most obvious one to all of you: His love for you will never change. In Jeremiah 31, we actually looked at Jeremiah 31. We had the words on the screen this morning, but now at the very beginning of the chapter, God reminds His people that though they face judgment, He would restore them. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." God won't give up on His people. It's a reoccurring theme throughout Scripture. In Malachi 3, verse 6, God tells His people that despite their unfaithfulness, He will yet remain faithful to them. "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Return to me, and I will return to you." You know, one of the reasons why we get frustrated, why we, that is to say people, get frustrated in relationships is because of people. People have this way of changing. Sometimes it seems overnight. Most of the times it seems over longer periods of time. Marriages can begin with so much promise and end up being joyless. Close friends can grow distant. Why? Because people change their temperament, their character, their outlook on life can change, sometimes dramatic. I mean to say that I've seen very warm-hearted and generous people become cynical and callous. Maybe you have too. And I've seen the hurt and pain that that's caused. I've prayed with people who have been betrayed by someone they love. And I've listened to people who will tell me that they no longer love their spouse. And I've had people ask me, "Can I count on anyone today? Because I've been burned." Well, the Bible says, you can count on God. He never acts out of character. God is always Himself. You never have to doubt His love. No matter what happens, no matter what you've done, no matter how you feel, no matter what comes your way in life, God's love for you never changes. Romans chapter 8, a passage that I quote from so very frequently, tells us that nothing will be able, particularly at the end in verses 38 and 39, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, which means that you and I can go to bed tonight. We don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder if God has changed His mind about us. God's love for us does not change. It means when we sin and we disappoint God, we don't have to worry about God turning his back on us, because he'll be right there waiting for us to turn around and seek his forgiveness. It means that when you pray and then you don't get an immediate answer to your prayer, or if your prayer is not answered the way in which you have asked it, and when things don't go well for you, you don't have to wonder if he's given up on you, because his love for you is one of those things that never changes. Second, God's word never changes. So someone once tried to tell me that the Bible was outdated because, after all, the Bible was written all those thousands of years ago, and people were different back then, and the world sure was different back then. And on the surface, you might say, yeah, well, you know, that was all those thousands of years ago, and people were different, and the world was quite different than what it is today. And yet, when you think about it, the presence of evil remains in our world, and the essential character of people remains about the same, hasn't really changed, and people still face difficulties and still face challenges in our world today. Far from being outdated, the laws and the commands and the truths and the principles of Scripture are, in fact, timeless. The Bible speaks to every age. It's just that we in every age have to hear and put into our own context what God is saying. The Bible is always fresh. The Bible is always relevant. Isaiah 40 says this: the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Jesus in Matthew 24 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's never been a book that has been more ridiculed, that has been more attacked, that has been more burned and banned than the Scripture. And yet the Scriptures, the Bible, has outlasted any force that has threatened to discredit it over the centuries. Psalm 119 says, long ago I learned from your statutes that you've established them to last forever. When God created the world, he created universal laws that would never change. So I learned, because I have a renewed interest in the space race back in the 60s, I learned that when Alan Shepard, the first American to go up into space, was asked, on what are you depending on the most? Because this was a big deal, right? This guy's going up in the rocket, first time for the U.S. And he says, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change. And from the beginning, the laws of physics have not changed. There are other laws that have not changed too, by the way. Moral and spiritual laws, laws which, if ignored, can cause chaos in our lives. Remember when you used to play the game, because, you know, it's kind of a universal experience. We used to play a game where the rules kept changing. It could have been any game, but you played it with a group of people and the rules kept changing along the way. And you remember how well that didn't go? Huh? It just doesn't work when the rules keep changing. And that's the only way, really. This is the only way to win in life, is to live by the unchanging rules that God has established. We live in a world in which people like to think that everything is relative, right? Hey, truth is, you decide what truth is, and I'll decide what truth is. And as long as my idea of truth doesn't threaten you at all or harm you at all, then I'm okay and you're okay. That's the kind of world and society that we live in. People think everything is relative. There are no absolutes in life today. But there are. There are things that will always be right, and there are things, absolutes, that will always be wrong. There are these absolutes that are not just a matter of opinion. And contrary to popular opinion, God doesn't invent new rules for every generation. He says, I've established them, remember, to last forever. Remember the first temptation that was recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say that you may not eat of the tree in the garden? And the adversary whispers in our ear, did God really mean that? Do you really suppose that He means that for you? Well, God hasn't mellowed over the years on the question of sin. God hasn't mellowed over the years on the question of truth. God doesn't hate sin with any less passion today than He did 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. But then remember this, that the same God who never changes His laws, who never changes His truths, also never changes His free offer of grace and forgiveness and love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. In fact, this was a major teaching point of Jesus. Now, there are two ways to build a house, I suppose, today. You can build it with a foundation or not. In Jesus' parable and His metaphor, He says you can build a house on the sand, and you can build it on bedrock, and if you don't build your life on a solid foundation, He's saying it won't last. God's Word lasts. God's Word is dependable. God's Word is rock solid. And doing life God's way and building your life on the truths and the principles of Scripture may not be very popular, but it's the only way, Scripture says, that we can experience the joys and the blessings that God longs for you and for me. God's absolutes don't change, but neither do His promises. God can be trusted to stand by every single one of them. Numbers 23. God is not human that He should lie. Not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Now, people don't always keep their word, and that's not news to you because you have witnessed that and you have felt the brunt of that at one time or another. People make lots of promises. Good many of them are unkept, and I suppose we might as well be honest with ourselves. We make promises, too, that we don't always keep. And if we're having a hard time thinking about a promise we made that we have not kept, all we have to do is consult with people who know us, people around us, and they will probably point it out. But few experiences in life are more disappointing, sometimes more painful than a broken promise. one sort or another. Something that we'll never experience with God. There are hundreds of promises in Scripture, and God stands by and behind every single one of them. There is the promise of forgiveness and the promise of salvation and the promise of God's presence in our lives. There's the promise of His care and provision. There's a promise of peace. There is the promise of security. There is the promise of strength to fight temptation. There is the promise of power to serve Him. There is the promise of His control. There is the promise to help us in our weakness. There is the promise of eternal life. And of course, we can go on and on and on. Know that God will never fail you. We may have our moments when we doubt God, and we do at times in our life, but God keeps His word, and what was written thousands of years ago is just as true today. And here, one more thing, and that is that God's purposes never change. Isaiah 14 says, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen." Now, we have said a number of times, we've acknowledged a number of times in both our morning services as well as our evening services that God is at work in human history. God didn't create the world and then become disinterested in it and go off on His merry way, as deists would believe. God is very involved in this world, and He is bent on pursuing and realizing His good plans and purposes for this fallen world and for our lives. And ever since the fall, when human beings thumbed their noses at God, and when God announced in Genesis chapter 3 His good plans and purposes to redeem this fallen world and to restore fallen people as His sons and daughters, God has been in the process of bringing this about. And the pivotal point, of course, is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Christ's death and resurrection that blasted apart the adversary's claim to have control over this world and over people in this world. It was Christ's death and resurrection that sealed the adversary's fate. It was Christ's death and His resurrection that assures us that God's promise of the new heavens and the new earth will be realized. It was Christ's death and the resurrection that enabled me to say at Norma Baucamp's funeral last week to Glenn that Norma is in Glenn's future. Because God stands by His promises. You see, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in your life, God is in control. We thought about that last fall when we reflected on the sovereignty of God. Nothing can sidetrack God. Nothing can thwart His good intentions for this world and for your life and for my life. At the very core of who God is a commitment to go through life with you today and tomorrow and forever. God will never leave us. You think about what we have talked about tonight and thought about tonight. He'll never stop loving us. He's giving us His unchanging word, rock solid truth on which to build our lives. He's faithful to his promises that are in that word, and his plan for the redemption of our lives and this world will most certainly be realized. Place your trust in him and live in that confidence. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for your word and for the truths that we find in your word and the way in which it reveals to us who you are in the pages of this book that is on our laps. Lord, as we continue to learn about you, we find ourselves more and more in awe of you. As we continue to learn about who you are, we find ourselves more and more able to trust you and to find our confidence in you. As we continue to see you more and more, we find ourselves more and more in love with you. So continue to do your good work in our hearts and in our minds, that we more and more may be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, will you stand and will you join me in reciting these words from the Belgic Confession, Article 1. Will you say them with me? We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all that is good.